Welcome to the Middletown United Methodist Church podcast, the perfect way to catch up on previous Sunday sermons.
Have you ever been standing around and hearing someone else's conversation? Not really eavesdropping, but just overhearing another conversation? Well, that's what's going on in this passage from John that was just read for us. We're overhearing Jesus' conversation with the Pharisees. In the previous chapter, in chapter 9, Jesus has healed a man that was born blind. And then, not to mention, he also healed him on the Sabbath. So the Pharisees took offense at what Jesus had done in healing this man. And so they questioned the man. They questioned the man's parents about whether or not he really was born blind. They continually referred to Jesus as a sinner. And when the Pharisees asked the man if he thought Jesus was a sinner, he replied, "I don't know if he was a sinner or not. All I know is I was blind and now I see." And by the end of chapter 9, we see this man that was blind professing belief in and worshiping Jesus. Chapter 10 is Jesus' discourse with these Pharisees who are blind themselves, not physically, but spiritually. And Jesus uses this metaphor of a shepherd, which the Pharisees should have been comfortable with and understood. The metaphor is used extensively throughout the Hebrew Scriptures, referring to God as the shepherd. And the sheep belong to the shepherd, and they know the shepherd's voice, and they follow him. There's a difference between the way shepherds work in the West and in the way they work in the Middle East. In the West, shepherds use sheepdogs to herd the sheep. We've all seen probably videos, or maybe at the state fair, we've seen those skillful border collies herding sheep or whatever. But in the Middle East, the shepherds are out in front of the sheep, calling them by name, and they follow where the shepherd leads. They won't follow any other person because they know their shepherd and they know his voice. The Pharisees didn't recognize Jesus' voice as the good shepherd, as the Messiah. How well do you know and hear the voice of the good shepherd? My contacts were giving me a lot of trouble back in the spring. Wasn't able to see clearly out of them as I felt like I should. So I go back to the optometrist, get another exam, adjust the prescription, get new contacts, and then I can see more clearly. But you know, I know people who don't see clearly through their glasses or their contacts, but they won't go back and get them adjusted. Life is just out of focus. And before you know it, the being out of focus just becomes normal for them. Although normal doesn't mean clear and comfortable, they're still out of focus. For many of us, our spiritual lives can get out of focus. Now, when I say spiritual lives, I don't mean to imply that we can somehow separate our spiritual lives from the rest of our lives. Our spiritual lives, we can't set it off to the side, although many of us think we can do that. It's been said that we are not humans having a spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having a human experience. Think about that one for a minute. We're not human beings having a spiritual experience, but rather we are spiritual beings having a human experience. Our spiritual lives are intricately woven together with all the parts of our lives: family, career, leisure, relationships, friendships, every part of our lives. However, Because our spiritual lives are out of focus, we don't always see clearly the connection between our spiritual life and the other parts of our lives. And because of that, we have a difficulty at times hearing the voice of the shepherd. Our difficulty in hearing the shepherd's voice arises from not being able to name the deepest desire of our heart. When we can't name the deepest desire of our heart, we don't see clearly and we don't hear clearly. Elizabeth Dreyer wrote this: "One can begin one's spiritual quest by attending to the desires of the heart, both personal and communal. The Spirit is revealed in our genuine hope for ourselves and for our world." And then she asked these two questions: "How brightly burns the flame of desire for a love affair with God, other people, and the world? Do you know that to desire and seek God is a choice that is available to us always? Of all the things our heart desires, the deepest, most authentic thing our heart desires is to know and love God. Although we don't always see that clearly, and thus we can't name that. We can't name that as our deepest desire. But how brightly burns the flame of your desire to know God." We are spiritual beings, but we don't always attend to the spiritual of our lives. Some don't attend to the spiritual because they're not even sure that there is a God. And if there is a God, they're not sure that that God has anything to do with their day-to-day lives. Others don't attend to the spiritual because they don't feel like they have time. All of their waking hours seem to be taking up with job and with family. Others feel like they are attending when they attend worship on Sunday morning, and coming to worship helps, but there is so much more. You know, I lived many years of my life with a passive approach to spirituality. I just sat back and waited. I thought God would had something to say to me. God would say it to me, you know, through a dream or through a song that was sung, through a sermon. Can you imagine what our life would be like if we approached our job and our relationships with that kind of passive approach? Thankfully, there came a time when I realized I needed to be more active than passive in my approach to the spiritual. Think about what it takes to raise a garden, a vegetable garden or a flower garden. In order to have beautiful flowers or wonderful produce, we must cultivate those gardens. We can't just leave the seeds in the package or leave the plants cramped up in those little boxes sitting in the garage. We have to cultivate. We have to dig the soil. We have to fertilize. We have to plant the seeds, water them, keep the weeds from overtaking them. It takes time. It takes effort. Neither can we put out a tomato plant in the morning and go back that afternoon and expect to get a nice, juicy tomato. No, we put the plant in the ground. We tend it for weeks and weeks. And if we've done a good job caring for that plant, then we go back and we get a nice, juicy tomato. Day by day, we may not notice anything happening. But if we've been tending that plant, it's growing, even if we can't see it or not. Our spiritual transformation is like tending that garden. It requires that we are more active than passive. Spiritual formation is like raising a garden. It takes time, takes effort. We don't usually see great results in our spiritual life from praying one prayer or reading one chapter out of the Bible. Spiritual transformation often happens gradually, sometimes like watching that plant grow, so gradually we don't even notice. But just like our tomato plant, we can't make it grow. We can't determine if it'll have one tomato or 20. We just simply do what we can to create the conditions and the best conditions possible for it to grow. Neither can we spiritually transform ourselves or anyone else. It just requires that we cultivate the spiritual and that we are persistent. What we can do is to create the conditions in which spiritual transformation can take place. We do that by developing and maintaining a rhythm of spiritual practices that keeps us open and available to hear God. You know, when we aren't experiencing spiritual transformation in our lives, we often have this feeling of frustration and emptiness. And that level of frustration and emptiness can range from just a low level of unease to being overwhelming. We frequently can't even name the source of the frustration or the emptiness. So we try to remedy it in other ways, and often we try to remedy it by being busy. We volunteer more. We become more busy than we already are. We think that activity will fill the emptiness, will give us satisfaction and fulfillment. But what we often find is that the frustration and the emptiness is still there. Because even though we may be busy volunteering, we still aren't attending to that deepest desire of our heart, knowing and loving God. When we're in touch with that deepest longing in our heart, rather than being motivated by guilt or obligation, as in, you know, I really ought to have some quiet time, or, you know, I really should pray. Instead, when we are attending to that deepest desire, we are then compelled to seek ways of connecting with God. Sometimes this feels risky, but this is fundamentally what spiritual transformation is all about. Choosing a way of life that opens us up to the presence of God in places in our life where that deepest desire and longing stirs. These discoveries are available to all of us if we be more honest in naming that deep desire and crafting a way in our life to connect with God. Meister Eckhart, a 13th century German theologian mystic, wrote these words: "The reason we are not able to see God is the faintness of our desire." Will you hear that again? The reason we are not able to see God is the faintness of our desire. We can't see God because we don't want to see God. In other words, we haven't been able to name the deepest desire of our hearts as a longing for God. We often experience that longing, but we name it as a desire for something else. We experience that longing, but we name it as a desire for success in our job, or a desire for a relationship, or a desire for things. If I only had, fill in the blank, then my deepest desires would be met. The only thing that fits in that blank is God. It's only when we are able to name the deepest desire of our heart as knowing and loving God that our lives then have balance and fulfillment. As long as we try to fill that blank with anything else, there'll always be an unease, a frustration, an emptiness. When was the last time you felt it? When was the last time you felt your heart stirring and longing to know more of God? When was the last time you felt that longing for healing, for fundamental transformation in your life? You see, the truest thing about you is your desire to know more of God than you know right now. Your longing for love, your need for deeper levels of spiritual transformation than you've ever experienced before. There are many things that you might think is the truest thing about you. You might think it's your woundedness or your giftedness or your personality or who you identify as mother, father, husband, wife. You might think that those things is what's the truest part of you, but the truest part of you is that longing to know God and your capacity to reach out for more of God than you know today. There's a place within each of us where God's Spirit connects to our spirit, where God's Spirit witnesses to our spirit that is our truest identity. It's there that God's Spirit dwells with us, and it's there that our truest desires make themselves known. This is the place where we cry out to God for deeper union with God and with our neighbors. And that's what it means to have life abundantly. At the end of the discourse part that we read this morning, it says that Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And an abundant life doesn't mean an abundant of riches. It doesn't mean an abundant of things. That abundance is loving and knowing God. That abundance is having a deeper and deeper relationship with God, of authentically fulfilling that deep desire of our heart. Have you named that deepest desire in your life? Have you named it as knowing and loving God? And do you have a rhythm in your life that includes practices that help you create an environment so that you can know and hear God? That's a choice that we all can make every day. And God is just waiting for us to make the invitation for Him to be a part of our lives. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you would like to stay connected to Middletown UMC in other ways, you can visit our website, our Facebook page, or download our church app. If you would like to show support to the church and the ministries that help so many, you can use our online giving feature on the website or app. Have a blessed day.